Text, maybe the broadest context I can. Sometimes I like to do that. But I would just start off saying, you know, when it comes to so many things, and especially on the context I have, I would just have to start off and say, we don't know. And if we go along a little further and think a little further and what possibly and all of this, I think we'd have to say, we don't know what was afoot. We don't know. At some time by the creation of God, angels burst forth into this existence, and sometimes someplace for some reason, but we don't know. And why the morning stars sang together, we don't totally understand. We're not sure. But we do know that a little while ago something happened. It wasn't very long ago, but it was this way. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was waste and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. By the word of Jehovah were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Psalm 33, verse 6. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that hath been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness apprehended it not. John 1, 1 and 2. We do know that God said to the slandering adversary, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Genesis 3:15. We know that God said to a man by the name of Abram, I will bless them that bless thee, and them that curse thee will I curse. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Genesis 12, verse 3. We know that an ancient prophet somewhere in all of this, an ancient patriarch, said, if a man die, shall he live again? Job 14, verse 14. And we know that one who refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter said, Jehovah thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, like unto me, unto him shall ye hearken. Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. And that greedy prophet, given to hire, spoke the truth because God wanted him to. And he said, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not nigh. There shall come forth a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. And other than that, we don't know as we follow along in human history. We know what other prophets said. Isaiah said, all the armor of the armed man in the tumult, and the garments rolled in blood shall be for burning, for fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 5 and 6. That fifth gospel, they say Isaiah 53, says things like, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up before him as a tender plant. And he says, as a root out of a dry ground, he has no form nor comeliness. And when we behold him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and he was rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But he was bruised for our transgressions. We know that another prophet, Daniel, saw something in the night visions. He said, I saw in the night visions, and there came with the clouds of heaven one like unto a son of man, and they brought him near before him. And there was given unto him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Daniel 7:13 and 14. But if we read all that, saw all of that, if we were the angels, if we were Satan and watched all of that, heard all of that, we would wonder, what is going on and what is it about? And one night some shepherds heard angels actually sing. And part of what they sang was this: glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men in whom he's well pleased. Luke 2:14. A man that I would almost think is a kind of wild man came out of a deserted area and began to preach. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 3:2. And he marked another one. He saw him and said to his disciples, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And that wild man's head was cut off. And the other one began to preach and to say, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And instead of saying, I don't know, very shortly that kingdom came. And apostles and prophets continued to preach. And we see that something was afoot in all of that. And it's all connected together. In the fullness of the time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem them that are under the law. Galatians 4:4. I wonder if for a moment, just put yourself in my place. Let's try to intrude in this type of human history and see what we do know and what is going on, and narrow it all down and focus and look in the Gospels, and what do we see? There's a young man. Some would call him a young Palestinian, a young Palestinian Jew. He's a carpenter, a mechanic of wood, as some would say. He has no castle that he walked out of. He has no war horse, no charger. And he's a simple young man. And all we see with all this going on, redemption, ransom, propitiation, expiation, salvation, sacrifice. All we see is this young man teaching. And we see him healing and authenticating. And we see him praying. And we look back and ask, in all of this grand context, prayer, we see him praying. Prayer. That is some big thing in all of this. He talks to God. Prayer. There's pearly gates. There's streets of gold so translucent because of the purity of the gold, you can see right to it. Myriads are dressed in white. We look at that and we understand. And there's persecution that turns the stomach and the wheel of nature, and it's set on fire by hell itself. And in all of that, we see him constantly praying. Constant prayer. What's going on here? I try to understand it a little bit this way. Let's go back in that history just a little further and notice the events surrounding a simple prayer. A prayer of a king. Makes no difference. His name was Hezekiah. And he's king of Judah. Isaiah 36:37. Sennacherib of Assyria threatens. And he's going to take Judah by force and wipe out the lineage of this one who is the Son of God. And probably some kind of a military title, like many of our titles, born of ambition. A man by the name of Rabshakeh comes with a great army for the great king of Assyria. And he threatens and says, surrender. And Eliakim, Shebna, Joah go out to talk to him on the wall. And Rabshakeh makes this defiant speech. Why, we'll give you 2,000 horses if you have the men to put on them. How can you turn away the least of one of the princes that follow the great king? And don't let Hezekiah persuade you that Jehovah's going to deliver you. Where are the gods of Hamath and Rephed and Ephraim, Samaria? Hezekiah sends to this prophet Isaiah that we mentioned. Oh, it's a day of contumely and rebuke. And Jehovah basically gives an answer of faith. Tells him, be not afraid. Rabshakeh, he goes back and he finds his king fighting now with the king of Libna. And Rabshakeh, he sends again in a hurry to Hezekiah. Don't trust in Jehovah. Where's the gods of Gozan and Haran and Rezeph and Edom? Where are they? And Hezekiah received that letter. And what could he do? He took it and went up to the house of Jehovah to pray. And he spread the letter itself before Jehovah. There's none to help but thee, O Jehovah. And he prayed. And Jehovah answered as he sometimes does in enigmatic ways. He says, the virgin daughter of Israel laughs at him. She shakes her head at him. He's not going to come to this city, the king of Assyria. He won't fire an arrow here. He won't set up a mound. He's going to return the same way he came to his own land. And that night, God answered the prayer. And an angel, if I might say in my way, strolled through the camp of Assyria that night. And the next morning, when a few got up, they look around and there's 185,000 dead soldiers. We lost 53,000 in the Vietnam War. That night, Assyria lost 185,000. Now these things, why? They're our example. We understand what Jesus is about when he prays. These things happen by way of example to the end that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6. These things happen unto them by way of example. They're written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages are come. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through patience and through comfort of the scripture we might have hope. Romans 15, verse 4. And so, yes, when we come down and see this young man and he's teaching and he's healing and he's working miracles, he's also praying. And we know that it has an effect. When we come to prayer, I guess we can do no wrong to study the simple prayer life of Jesus. And we're going to notice several things today. We're going to notice, first, Jesus prayed. Secondly, Jesus taught us about prayer. Thirdly, Jesus believed prayer was answered, that it worked. And fourthly, Jesus gave us some promises regarding prayer. First of all, Jesus prayed. I noticed in Mark 1:35 it says, in the morning, a great while before day, he rose up and went out. And he departed into a desert place and there prayed. Jesus prayed. Mark 1, verse 35. He was in the Garden of Eden. He prayed. He took with him Peter, James, and John and began to be sorrowful and sore troubled. And he went forward a little and fell on his feet after he told them to abide and watch with him there. And his sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood. Father, if it be possible, take this cup away from me, but not as I will, as thou wilt. There in the garden, he prayed. Matthew 26, around 36 through 46. He prayed before speaking to the multitudes. Here they were coming, but before he talked, just had to get off and pray. And he withdrew himself into the deserts and prayed. Luke 5, verse 16. He's going to pick the 12 apostles. He prayed all night. Luke chapter 6, verse 12. It says, it came to pass in those days, he went out into a mountain. You know, you're not going to run into a lot of people up in the mountain. It's not the normal way people would travel. So he went out into a mountain to pray. And he continued all night in prayer. And again, that's in Luke chapter 6, verse 12 in context. Ask Barbara yesterday. I don't always know why I ask or what or what's going on, but I like to hear what she says and helps me. Why did he get off by himself? Why up in a mountain? Why out in a desert area when he would pray away from everyone? Well, I guess he didn't want people to watch him. People lie in bed and say their prayers at night. He could do that if he wanted to. He could concentrate. He could do it that way. Why did he get off? I don't know, but I do know there's such a thing as striving in prayer. He may have been a little loud in his prayers sometimes. And a little active, who knows? But he wanted to be by himself when he prayed. And he was watchful in prayer. Satan was going to get Simon, Peter. And Jesus prayed. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan asked to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I made supplication for thee that thy faith fail not. And do thou, when thou hast turned again, establish thy brethren. Luke 22, verse 32. And there he is with the disciples. Before he goes back to heaven, he prays that long prayer, the depth of which I doubt I've ever touched. Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that the Son may also glorify thee. In verse 3 he says, and this is the life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and the one whom thou hast sent, even Jesus Christ. He said, and again in verse 14, I have given them thy word, therefore the world hateth them. Isn't that something? We have the word of God, and the world's going to hate us because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. John 17, verse 14. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. John 17, verse 17. And then again, lastly, neither for these only do I pray, but for them also that believe on me through their word, that they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. John 17, 20 and 21. Jesus prayed. In all that's going on, he constantly prayed. In all that's going on, in the greatest context you can make of the whole thing, prayer plays its part. And an important part, according to Jesus, right in the midst of it all. He prayed when he noticed even little things. And one of my favorite ones is when he just didn't want to wait and lifted up his eyes to heaven when he saw the way his message was received and says, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thou didst hide these things from the wise and understanding and didst reveal them unto babes. Yea, Father, for so it was well pleasing in thy sight. Brings them down, the haughty ones, Matthew 11, verse 25. So there's no doubt, we could go on and on and on. When he's on the cross, he prays. When he's crucified, he prays. Every turn, every event, he leads us to understand there's something going on about prayer. And how weak our faith must be if we neglect our prayer. And how much, when we look at this, ought we to say, I'm going to pray more and longer. And I'm going to do supplication and begging and thanksgiving. And I'm going to pray and pray. Because our great exemplar, Jesus, prayed. And he taught on prayer. He taught the disciples' prayer, or we can call it the Lord's Prayer if you wish. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And bring us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And also Luke 11, 1 through 13. He taught some things about prayer that are interesting when he taught about prayer. He taught about hypocrisy in prayer. And when you pray, you should not be as the Pharisees, for they love to stand in the synagogues and in the corners of the street and pray that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they've received their reward. Matthew 6, verse 5. And he talked about how prayer is really efficacious. It's good. It's beneficial when it's mingled with humility. He taught on humility in prayer. I say unto you, he's talking about this Pharisee and the publican. Remember the context. And the Pharisee looks at that publican called a sinner in another gospel and says, I thank thee, oh God, I'm not like other men. I fast twice a week, give a tenth of all I have, and even like this sinner, that publican there. That publican didn't even come close. Got way off. Wouldn't lift up his eyes to heaven, but smote his breast and said, God, be thou merciful unto me, a sinner. The word propitiated, cover my sins, appease your wrath. God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. And Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house, probably from the temple area. This man went down to his house justified and not the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be humbled, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Taught us about humility in prayer, Luke 18, 19 through 14. And he did not neglect vain praying. I don't mean to be crude, coarse, or anything, but I'm going to be real. Have you ever been around Pentecostals very much? Talk about vain jangling. Have you ever I had to take a trip with one of them. Of course, he had left all over town there up in Vermont about how you get all these fillings in your teeth miraculously. All these miracle fillings in the teeth. I drove with him down to Grand Rapids. He had to get a root canal done. Nevertheless, all he'd say as he drove was, praise the Lord, 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 praise the Lord. I said, why do you do that all the time? Well, it says, whoever says, praise the Lord, be blessed, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Do you even know what you're saying? We had an interesting conversation all the way down there and all the way back. By the way, it's been about 40 years now. I should be Pentecostal. About 39 years, and I'm not. But all that stuff. He says, I say unto you, in praying, use not vain repetitions as the Gentiles do. They think they'll be heard for their much praying. Jesus taught about importunity in prayer. Keep on praying. Luke 18, verse 1, he spake a parable unto them to the end that they ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't quit. Don't give up. Like Psalm 27. Verse 13 and 14 says, wait for Jehovah. Be strong. Let the heart take courage. Yea, wait thou for Jehovah. Well, what does he do? He tells that parable of the widow and the unjust judge. Avenge me of my adversary. And finally, he says, I fear not God nor men, but lest she wear me out by her continual coming, I'll avenge her of her adversary. Well, Jesus says, that's the way we ought to be, is never quit. Keep praying. Sometimes that's what it's all about. And so in the grandest context, the broadest context of the whole thing of creation and all, the scheme of redemption, here's prayer. And he's praying and he's teaching us about prayer. We rejoice to hear him teach about faith in connection with prayer. He rebuked the fig tree. You remember on the way to the temple, on the way back, it was withered away from its roots. And Peter said, look there, the fig tree, it's withered away from its roots. And he says, have faith in God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he saith cometh to pass, he shall have it. Therefore I say unto you, here's a big test. All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Now we know there are amendments throughout the Bible, but right now at this point, he's talking about faith in prayer and the primary workings of it. If you believe, you shall have it. Many, many things that amend that. We know that. You ask and have not, you kill and covet, James said, and you cannot obtain, you fight in war. You have not because you asked not. You ask and receive not that you might spend it in your pleasures. Well, sure, that's all true, but right now he's talking about faith and why our prayers are unanswered because of a lack of faith. We don't believe. And it's not that we want to spend it in our pleasures or anything like that or any of the other reasons why God doesn't answer prayer. But it's faith. It's faith. And it's faith why we don't pray more, I'm sure. As I look at myself, look inward, my background experience in talking with brethren, I agree with the statement, not a one of us here has received everything we could have received from God by prayer because we did not ask. We don't pray. And he taught us that we should ask of the Father in His name. Notice he didn't say, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, that will I do. It escapes. There's some things I'm going to die and not understand. Why some of my brethren, every time you say that the Holy Spirit does not work on the human mind or heart directly, they say, well, then you don't believe God answers prayer. If there's anyone here today wants to explain that to me, I'll be more than willing to listen. Whatsoever you shall ask of me, of the Father in my name, Jesus says, thank you, that will I do. Jesus is involved in providence. God sees it that way. And He's our mediator. So what have we seen? Jesus prayed. When Jesus was at His baptism, He prayed. When again He was with His disciples, He prayed. And He got off time after time by Himself and wanted to be alone at certain times and way off. And He prayed. And when He was being crucified, He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. And then He turned around and constantly taught us about prayer. And one thing He taught, as we've seen, is that prayer worked. They came down from the Mount of Transfiguration. And the apostles said, well, we thought Elijah cometh. And Jesus said, behold, I tell you, Elijah has come. And they did to Him whatsoever they would. And they understood that He was talking of John the Baptist. In Luke chapter 1, it says John came in the power and the spirit of John, of Elijah. But they come down, and there's a tumult down there. And what's going on? Some of the disciples are down at the, from the mountain. And they said, well, this young man has a demon. And we tried, we couldn't cast it out. And the father of the boy, when asked how long he's had it, said, since birth. And it, as a young man, and it, sometimes it cast him into the water to kill him, sometimes into the fire. And if thou canst do anything, help us. Now, I take it the way my translation has it, that Jesus replies much like this. When the man said, if thou canst do anything to help us, please. Jesus said, if thou canst, all things are possible to him that believeth. I feel so sorry for that father. I believe, help my unbelief. And Jesus cast it out. Now before it went out, it convulsed that boy a while. And the disciples later asked Jesus, how come we couldn't cast it out? Because of your little faith. You see, He taught on prayer, but He taught it worked. Certain ingredients like faith, humility, and that we don't want to spend it in our pleasure and all of that, but nevertheless it worked. Because of your little faith, but then He added something. This kind, evidently there's different types of demons, maybe ranks. This type cometh not out, but by prayer. Another gospel has, and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. But we're busy and the world intrudes on us rather than us think about the world and the way it operates. And only God's word can help us and bring us to our senses and get it out of us and get us out of it. But He prayed. He taught on prayer, and no one can deny, He taught that prayer worked. Lastly, I would just barely mention some of the promises He gave us about prayer. He said, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth; he that seeketh, findeth. And unto him that knocketh, it shall be opened. What man of you is there who, if his son would ask him for a loaf, would give him a stone? You know, we're not perverts. We discipline our children and even the grandchildren. I walk in sometime, Barbara keeps the grand boys, and I walk in, I say, what's this big spoon lying out here for? I know the answer to that. Ross. And sometimes I walk home and I come home and I look in there on the floor is one of my belts. Just lying out there on the floor, easy to be seen. What's that on my belt doing out here just lying on the floor? It's the way she used to do our kids. And they kind of got along after that. You know, they'd see that and they kind of learned to play together, right? But nevertheless, it's true in all of that. We raise them, we discipline them, but we're not perverts. We don't want to hurt them. What man is there among you who, if his son would ask him for a loaf, would give him a stone? He's hungry. Are you going to give him a rock and laugh at the joke while he's hungry? No. And if he asked for a fish, would give him a serpent? Here, and, you know, whether it bites him or not, scare him with a serpent while he's hungry? No. Now, this is one of the things I love about Jesus' teaching on prayer, the fathership of God. So he says, how much more shall your Father, who's in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Matthew 7:7-11. And so much more, so much more. But for our knowledge of prayer, we just studied the life of Jesus. Some of you are going to look up shocked and say, is he about over with the introduction? I am. Almost over with everything, tell you the truth. But what are we seeing today? So simple, so simple, so simple. Jesus prayed. Jesus taught about prayer. Jesus prayed that prayer works. And he taught us that. And Jesus gave us exceeding great promises about prayer. So what have we come? What can we get? What can we do? What can we get out of the moment? All I know is I think of James 1:25. He that looketh into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and so continueth, being not a hearer that forgetteth, but a doer that worketh. Well, this man should be blessed in his doing. James 1:25. And Jesus, of course, put it best of all. Everyone, therefore, that heareth these words of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto the wise man that built his house upon the rock. To praise great wisdom, it is hearing the voice of God and then going out and doing it. Today we've heard about prayer. I can almost just have something flash into my mind a little bit about the Apostle Peter. When the Lord, after he had taught in that boat, I'm sure bobbing up and down, said, cast down into the deep for a draught. And Peter says, we fished all night and caught nothing. I guess they engaged eyes, who knows. So Peter says, well, nevertheless, at thy word, I'll do it. And got so many fish, they couldn't even get them into the boat. And if you're good Christians and you follow God's word, what's in the pipeline for you? And what does he want to do? And then maybe like with Peter, leave some grand spiritual door open for you, that he would be a fisher of men. He threw in some great spiritual blessings, and I'm sure he'll do that for us today too. Thank you very much.